Right. If you'll take out your sermon notes and grab your Bible, today we're going to be looking in our series on the holy habit of praying persistently. And habits are what we do regularly, and they shape who we are. And so something doesn't become a habit because you know that you should do it. It becomes a habit when it begins to work into your life on a regular basis. And you can see the habits that we've gone through already: applying scripture, worshiping passionately, cultivating thankfulness, and today we're going to talk about praying persistently. And I think the key in all of these is the descriptor. What are we doing? It's not just that we know the scripture, but we're actually applying it into our life. That's the difference between a wise person and a foolish person. It's not just that we attend worship, but we know that we should worship, or worship's going to be our activity in eternity, but that we are putting our heart and ourselves into it, and that we cultivate thankfulness. How are your triggers going about being thankful and reminding yourself of that? Today we're going to talk about praying persistently, and throughout scripture you have these words that we are to pray at all times and to pray without ceasing. You see in your sermon notes, Colossians 4:2, be persistent and devoted to prayer, being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. Our prayer life should be informed by the Word of God, and it should be given with a heart of thankfulness, because, and so these disciplines begin to work together in our life for our good. When we looked at cultivating thankfulness, we looked at 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 that says, rejoice always and delight in your faith, be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And there's something when you hear those words that ought to grab your attention. This is what God wants to have happen in your life, that you are a thankful person no matter the circumstances, because you never stop praying. You are continuing aware of His activity and God conscious in your life. I just want you to imagine with me for a moment, for those of you that are in Christ, what if we became known in our community as Concordia Wesleyan Church, not just as a church that prays, but a people of prayer? That when you encounter the body of Christ here, we know that they are praying persistently for themselves, for God's kingdom to come, for the community. That those who came in here and sat under and were applying scripture and worshiping passionately and cultivating thankfulness would call upon the name of the Lord for marriages to be restored. And I thank God for the marriages just in the past year that have been restored, and we've heard some of those testimonies. But you know, as some of those marriages have been rebuilt and restored, the sad truth is other marriages have been falling apart. And many are hanging on by a thread, and they are dependent upon the hope of God. Raising godly children, healing the sick, relieving financial burdens, overcoming addictions, forgiving sin, and transforming lives. What if we would ignite hope in the lives of those around us because of the hope we are experiencing within us, that we'd be committed to deeply love each other and make Christ known, that we would ask God every day to fill us with His Spirit, to be His ears and the voice of Jesus with those that we encounter? What if we were a people that prayed specifically and on purpose for each other and asked God to reach the effectiveness of our church, to grow it, that God would increase the outreach and capacity, not so that we could be bigger or have more responsibility or notoriety, but that God's heart for North Central Kansas would be realized to a greater degree through us? If that were to happen, we would be an answer to Jesus' prayer, that we would love each other in such a way that the world around us would know that we are His disciples and His name would be renowned. Now, I don't want to present prayer today as just something else we have to do. Here's what's happened throughout my life growing up in the church. Whenever I heard someone talking about prayer, you know what my first thing is? Guilt. I need to pray more. I'm just not very good at it. I need to spend more time. I spent more time on my phone than I did. I just, before I came into service today, I got an alert on my phone that my screen time this past week has decreased 17%. Sounds pretty good. Until I looked at how much I was on the screen time and how many hours a week. But we're not going to go there. Listen, I am not going to talk to you today about praying 30 minutes or praying an hour or doing that. We're going to talk about how do we pray without ceasing. How do we live in the atmosphere and the attitude of prayer in our life? Because you see this throughout Scripture that God says, I want you to continue to be God-focused and God-centered in your life. We sang a little bit earlier that hymn, Take Time to Be Holy. And I never sing that hymn without thinking, I think it's the second verse. It says, take time to be holy, the world rushes by. And why that is significant is that that hymn was written in the late 1800s. And I'm thinking, seriously? The world rushes by? Just how quickly could the world be rushing in 1884? However, here's what I realized. Being God-focused, God, praying without ceasing, being persistent in prayer is not easy. You have to be disciplined. In fact, I would argue to you, you have to train yourself to be godly, as 1 Timothy 4:7 tells us. Now, the Westminster Shorter Catechism tells us this about prayer. Prayer is an offering of our desires unto God, notice this, for things agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement for his mercies. Now, you can have a lot of descriptions about what prayer is. It's talking to God, but I think this is, it's a giving up of our desires. God wants us to desire things in his life, and he changes those desires to things that are agreeable to his will. When we say amen, we're saying, so be it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And we also are humbly before God, our confession of sins, and we have a thankful acknowledgement for his mercies. Leonard Ravenhill said, prayer is not preparation for the battle. It is the battle. Someone else has said, prayer is a battle. Getting to prayer is half the battle. And so we're going to talk today about how do we get to prayer. Now, when you look at that word persistently, I like some of the synonyms that come with it. Are you a persistent prayer? And here are some things that would describe that. Tenacious, persevering, determined, resolute, purposeful, dogged, single-minded, tireless, patient, diligent, unflagging, untiring, unwavering, insistent, relentless, stubborn. Those are the things that ought to be descriptors of our prayer life. Now let's look at the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. I want you to notice in particular the four alls that are in here. This particular passage of Scripture comes right after the armor of God. After you've done everything to stand in the Lord, stand firm then, take up this, you know, the shield of faith and the belt of truth. You're familiar with the armor of God. And then it in Ephesians 6:18, here's what it says. And pray in the Spirit, notice this, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak the words may be given to me that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I can declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul said, I want you to pray at all times, on all occasions, for all people. Here's one of the things that happen when I pray. My thoughts begin to wander. Anybody else there? And all of a sudden, you're, you know, as you're praying for people, all of a sudden I think of something that I need to do that day. What was helpful to me is to understand it. I heard someone teach once that whenever you're praying and you have wandering thoughts, start thinking about those wandering thoughts. Where is your mind going? Because where your mind goes, typically, is what you're going to do next or what you need to be doing. Pay attention, and maybe there's something there that you need to be praying about. And it's not just what you say to God, but what God's Spirit says to you. So if you happen to be praying for someone and all of a sudden, making a prayer and your mind goes to somebody, maybe the Spirit is moving you to be praying for them at that particular time. Here's another thing that I try to be key on in my life. I want to capture my thoughts as I pray. What are my waking thoughts? Awakening. What do I wake up to? What are my whispering thoughts? My murmurings, and when I sigh, what is happening within me that I need to make sure that I am open and honest before God on this? By the way, these are all W words, by the way. You know how I think. My waking thoughts, my whispering thoughts, my wondering thoughts, my worrisome thoughts. What causes me anxiety? What worry? And we know in particular, we can apply scripture to that. It says, you know, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, make your requests be known unto God. And so you take your worries and you take them before God, and you realize that as you've worshiped this God passionately, as we've applied a couple weeks ago, we said, God, I know that you are sovereign. I know that you are holy. I know that you are eternal. You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I will say to my soul, why are you so downcast? I'm going to take my thoughts and I'm going to apply and bring them into your presence. And you are the creator God. Lord, you can create things in me that bring anointing. What are my waiting thoughts? What are my waning thoughts? What are my continual thoughts? Jesus told his disciples a parable that they should always pray and not give up. You say, wait a second, Pastor. Didn't Jesus also say that we shouldn't go on babbling, that we shouldn't give vain repetitions? Absolutely. He tells us that in Matthew chapter 6. He said, don't stand like the hypocrites do, and they think they'll be heard for their many words, and they make prayer kind of a showboating about it. Don't be like that. And don't think you'll be heard for your many words or saying the right words, but you are to go into secret and you're to let God know your thoughts. But here's what the scripture tells us. Prayer is a matter of what's going on inside of us. And we need to bring whatever is going on inside of us before the throne room of God. So you are persistent, but you just don't do rote prayers. You just don't say things over and over again. And I have several passages of scripture where it tells us to be steadfast and persistent in prayer. Let me give you a few. Acts 6:4, the apostle said, we have to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 10:2, it talks about a man named Cornelius, a Gentile. He said he prayed to God always. Romans 12:12 tells us to rejoice in our confident hope and keep on praying. 2 Timothy 1:3, Paul says, night and day I remember you in my prayers. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Sometimes you'll hear people say, you got to get up early and you got to pray in the morning. Anybody heard a message about you got to pray in the morning? Listen, Psalm 55:17 says, I pray in the morning, I pray at noon, and I pray in the evening. Here, we're going to be talking about continually praying throughout the day. But listen, God's truth works through our personalities. And the truth is, some of you aren't morning people. And so don't try to make yourself pray in the morning if noon's a better time or if evening's a better time. It is a matter of the heart, not a matter of process. In fact, the disciples in Luke chapter 11, after Jesus was praying in a certain place, they came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Here's another thing instructive about prayer. The disciples never have recorded that they say, Jesus, teach us how to preach. But they said, teach us to pray. They knew that Jesus lived in this constant connection, this God consciousness, being aware. Prayer was like breathing to Jesus. And when Jesus began to teach them to pray, he didn't pray. He didn't say, well, this is how you do it. You got to get up early in the morning, or you got to do it at this particular time. You know what Jesus did? He prayed. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your prayer starts with God and being aware of who He is. And your kingdom come. Your will be done. This is one of the hardest things that I have found about prayer, is moving from my will to Thy will. Now listen, I can tell you it's got to be God's will. It's got to be, you know, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. But listen, you got to live it in your life. And you say, God, not my will, but Thy will be done. It's okay if I just am just really honest with you. There's some things that I see going on in my world and the life of those around me. And to say, God, why do you allow it? Why is this happening? God, I know you're sovereign. I know that you are God. I know that you're eternal. I have the belief of heaven in my life, but God, I don't understand it. So God, help me have that understanding. In fact, I tell God, there's things I don't like that are going on. And you know what? Do you think God likes everything that's going on in our lives? No. God is going to wait. So here's, let's get to point one. Persistent prayer is the means through which God's promises are received. God's promises are received. You see this throughout Scripture. By the way, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there's only one way that you became a believer in Jesus Christ, and that is this. You called upon the name of the Lord. If you haven't called upon the name of the Lord, you have no hope of salvation. The Scripture says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the promise of forgiveness, the promise of eternal life came through and only through some type of prayer when you said, God, I'm tired of my life, or I no longer can live my life my way. I am powerless. I am calling upon you and what Jesus did for me on the cross. All of God's promises are received by calling upon Him and believing in Him. Jesus said in Luke 11, 9-13, I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give His Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? God's going to give you Himself, and He's going to do that through the Holy Spirit, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. I told you that this passage came out of after Jesus had been praying and the disciples asked Him to pray. And there's a shorter version in Luke chapter 11 of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. So whatever your request is, that begins with God, I want to bring glory to you and glory to your name. And may your kingdom come. God, you put me on this earth not only to save me, but you transferred me in the kingdom of your Son. And so whatever my activity is involved in, I want your kingdom to be increased for me. And I recognize that I am dependent upon you. Give me each day my daily bread. And forgive our sins. Thank you for what you've done. And don't let us yield into temptation. God, keep us from evil. And Jesus said as we would pray that kind of prayer, He would give His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and informs us in prayer. All the promises of God are received through prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. So through Him, notice this, the Amen is spoken by who? It's spoken by us. That's prayer right there. So be it, God, to the glory of God. You are affirming your faith to the promises of God. About 3 years ago, I preached a series of messages that really came about from one verse that I found in Isaiah chapter 37. The series was Because You Prayed. And it was about the life of Hezekiah the king, who had followed and made some reforms, and he was a good king in Israel, and he was doing everything right, so it would appear. And all of a sudden, he had an opposing army come before him. And they sent him a threatening letter, and it was supposed to be read to all the people, and it said, don't listen to Hezekiah, don't follow him. And here's what Hezekiah did. He went in, and he began to pray before the Lord, and he laid that before the Lord. And then the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent a message to Hezekiah. And here's what Isaiah chapter 37, verse 21 says. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. And here's the key phrase. Because you prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word the Lord has spoken against him. And as I read that word, I said, because you prayed? God said, I'm going to protect you. And here's the question that isn't asked in the scripture. What if he hadn't prayed? What if he had relied upon his own resources and his own army and his own chariots? What if he tried to strike a treaty for them? And this is the amazing thing about prayer. I don't understand completely how it works, but there's some things God won't do in our lives unless we pray, unless we call upon the promises of God. It goes on. You can see it again in chapter 38. That right after God had miraculously saved the whole nation from them, and so you think now it's going to be happily ever after, all of a sudden Hezekiah was given a deadly disease. Isaiah 38. It's one of those things you scratch your head. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. And the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you're going to die. You will not recover. Just a little insight here. When the prophet of God comes to you and says you're going to die, get your house in order, that's not a good day. Good things don't typically happen. So what did Hezekiah do? Did he start complaining to God and saying, God, when Sennacherib was coming against me, I laid this before you and you answered. How can you take my life now? Here's what Hezekiah did. Verse 2 of Isaiah 38. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and wholeheartedly devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. Notice this. I have heard your prayer, and I've seen your tears. God wants intimate relationship with us. It's not just that you do the right things and you pray the right things and you get involved in his activity, but he sees what's on your heart. And I'm glad that we have a God that not only hears our prayers, but he knows our emotions. In fact, he's touched with the very feeling of our emotions through Jesus Christ. And here's what he said. Because of that, I will add 15 years to your life. God heard, and because he prayed, and here's the question I ask myself, what if he hadn't prayed? What if he had relied on his own resources and power and limited as they were? What if he had just accepted the decree of the prophet Isaiah and hadn't prayed? But instead he asked, he prayed, he pleaded with tears, he threw himself into it. Listen, we have a tendency to let the struggles of life wear us down. That's why repeatedly in Scripture, Jesus even said it, I want you to pray and not lose heart. Prayer is hard work. It's hard to remain focused. Without prayer, our commitment will turn to complacency. Without prayer and calling upon the promises of God, our worship will be overcome by our worries. Without prayer, fear takes the place of faith, and discouragement takes the place of delight. And so when you find yourself in those emotions, say, God, how do I need to look to you? Samuel Chadwick said, the one desire of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing of prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. So God's promises are received. Secondly, God's power is released. Paul said this in Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message clearly as I should. Now, clearly, we should pray for our physical ailments. We just came from Hezekiah, who prayed when he was given a death notice. He was going to die, get his house in order. It tells us in James 5:16 to pray for one another that we could be healed. So I want to set that as the basis. But listen, if all we pray about is physical dilemmas in our life or for other people, we fall woefully short on the heart of God. And I would venture to say that the majority of the prayer list of any given church deals with physical things, temporal things. Paul says, he didn't say, I'm here in chains, so pray for me. My right leg is really hurting because the chain is digging into my leg. He says, I want you to pray that I would boldly proclaim and be given opportunities for God's mysterious plan. Listen, he tells us in another place, I am in chains, but God's word is not chained. Help me see the opportunities to get this out. And so when you pray without ceasing and you are going through a physical dilemma or you're going through doctor's visits and so forth, pray for healing. Absolutely pray for healing. But also be thinking about the people that you have contact with that you wouldn't have had contact with any other way. And say, God, are you putting me in a place in their life? And here's the easiest one. You can tell, good sir, this is for me where this clicked with me. Years ago when I moved to Kansas City, I was working in my backyard, and evidently I'm really allergic to poison ivy because I got poison ivy all over me, and we went through like 2 steroid packs and I had some cortisone shots and stuff. And the third time I went to the doctor and he says, I haven't seen anything like this. And I just said, you know, doctor, I just have to think that maybe it's not just the poison ivy of why I'm here. And I had a conversation about his walk with the Lord at that particular time. Listen, that's not a pat on my back. It just helped me to realize that sometimes God puts me in proximity with people because he loves that other person. He has a plan for them. He wants to do for them in part what he has done for me. And so that's what I want to encourage is when we pray without ceasing, to say, God, what are you up to? What are you doing? Your word says that you are at work. Help me be involved in your activity in life. Ephesians 3:20 and 21, now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly more than all that we could ask or dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, and dreams, and notice this, according to his power that is at work within us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, if we're going to apply scripture to our prayers, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you as a child of God. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Ian Bounds, who wrote much about prayer, says prayer puts God's work in his hands and it keeps it there. It looks to him constantly and depends on him implicitly to further his own cause. Prayer is but faith resting and acting with and leaning on and obeying God. That is why God moves it so well, why he puts all power into its hands, and why he so highly esteems men of prayer. Not only do we find these truths about God, but God's plan is revealed through prayer. This is God's will for your life, we're told, to be thankful in all situations. And as you are thankful and you recognize and tell God you are thankful and cultivating it, you will see God moving in ways that you didn't see happen before. By the way, Colossians 4:2 here is in the Amplified Version, not in the New Living Translation, so you can make that little correction in your notes. Here's what it says. Be persistent and devoted to prayer, being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. There's a dependency upon God when we see his plan being worked out in our life, and as we say, God, I'm going to trust in you with all my heart, and I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. But in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you, and I believe that you will make my paths straight. That is praying the scripture in my life. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 13. We love that first part. I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. But don't forget what is said after that. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me and search with me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Someone once said, I don't know who to give credit to, but prayer is the outstretched arms of a child for the Father's help. God, I want you in my life. I know we have a lot of grandparents in the service today. One of the best blessings that you can have is when your child or your grandchild reaches out and just wants to be with you. That's what prayer is, this dependency. And you can know the plans and the dreams that you have for them. Someone once prayed that God would give them enough success to know that he's there and enough failure to desperately need him. I know how to pray the first part of that. Second part, God, but I want to cultivate that need upon God. You could write down in your notes Ephesians 1, 15 to 21 as well. That's Paul prays for the church at Ephesus that God would really move greatly upon their life. In Luke 18, 1, Jesus tells another parable here. He's telling the disciples a parable to make the point that at all times they ought to pray and not give up and lose heart. And then Jesus, at the end of that parable, asks this question, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? And implied in that question, will he find faith? Will he find people that are persistently, unceasingly praying to him? By the way, out of the 38 parables or so that Jesus told, there are only two parables that are not by comparison, but by contrast. Most parables are said the kingdom of heaven is like, and Jesus tells a story. There's two stories that Jesus tells that are contrast. We've already looked at one of them in Luke chapter 11. In Luke 11, it talks about the friend at midnight, and he goes and he needs some bread, and he goes over to his neighbor's house, and he goes, I need some bread. Can you give me three loaves? And the guy's already in bed with his kids and everything, and he tells him to go away, and he keeps persistently knocking in prayer. And he says, what he won't do for friendship, he will do for sleep. And he gives up, and he gives his three friends that loaf of bread for the guests that he has. And Jesus said, in the same way, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. In Luke 18 here, it's about a widow. And she has no standing in a court of law. And she's going before a judge that doesn't fear God or man. He has no interest at all, but she's being oppressed and for a debt. And she goes and she prays for justice from the court. And the judge tells her to go away, but she keeps coming. And finally, she wears the judge down. And what he wouldn't do out of compassion or out of fear for God, he gives her a righteous judgment. And in the same way, Jesus says, will the Son of Man find it? Now, the story is not to be annoying to God. This is a story of contrast to say, if an unrighteous judge will grant mercy, how much more will your Father that wants to give you good things do it? And so because God is good, because he wants to hear our prayers, it should make us pray even more. David Hubbard says our prayers express our commitment to Christ. By talking to God, we affirm our basic decision to depend upon him. And here's the last thing. God's presence is realized when we pray. You see this throughout Scripture. You see it in Hezekiah's life. You see it in Jesus' teaching. You see it in the promise of Scripture. You know what happens when we're not anxious about everything, but in everything by prayer and petition, we make our requests be made known unto God? Here's the promise of Scripture. then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And a little bit later, it says, as you keep your mind focused upon him and what is good and what is right and what is true and what is noble, it says the God of peace will be with you. How does that happen? You pray about everything. You have a God consciousness, and you say, God, I want you to see this. So what does this look like when we have this habit of prayer going into our life? It's simply that you walk through life and you are continually aware of God's presence in your life. You've heard me say before that when I go into a room, because the scripture is true, God's presence goes with me. Whatever situation I go into, so when I'm tempted, I find that temptation becomes a prayer. God, you know what I'm going through right now. You know my desires of my flesh, and I'm going to count on you, and I'm going to confess that before me. If I see something good or there's a blessing in my life, God, I thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, and there's no shadow or there's no shifting in you. You are a good, good God. If there's an evil and an injustice, God, thank you for the recognition of right and wrong. God, heal our land. As you watch the news or as you see things happening in our world that are just evil and wrong, and people calling good bad and bad evil, use it as a prayer, a prompt in your life to be praying about that. If someone offends me, this happened to me this week. This week I did. And here's the conversation that I had with God. I was really upset. I was bothered. I felt like there had been injustice that had been done for me, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. I kept thinking, and I kept trying to justify myself in my own mind and things. And finally, here's where peace came into my life. I say, God, we both know where this is going to end. And it's going to end in forgiveness and grace. And the sooner that I align my will with your will. Here's what I know. The relationship that I have with this person is way more important than the offense that I have. So right now I just confess that before you. And I can't tell you how it's happening. It's not a formula. But the peace of God that passes understanding moved into my heart. And you know what? I can see it today for how little it was. That's what God does for you when you have the habit of prayer. If you meet somebody without Christ, or you're not sure where they are, and to say, oh God, would you draw them to them? Would you guide our discussions? Would you pray for them? Help me to pray for them. If you see someone in trouble, you thank God that he is a deliverer. In other words, your life becomes a constant prayer. All of its thoughts and all of its deeds, all of its circumstances become a cause, a point of communication for God. As I pray this way, understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we don't have set times for prayer and times, but here's what I believe. If you bring God and you make all of life's activities part of your prayer life to God, there will be times that will come up in your life. You won't have to worry about how often I spent in prayer, because there will be other times that you will begin to build in specific times of prayer in your life. Interesting enough, and I didn't ask them permission, but I'm going to go ahead and say it because I acknowledge it too. You know, as we talked in staff meeting and we looked at these holy habits, here's what we say. Prayer is one of our weaker points. It's so easy to get caught up with the knowledge that we have without applying what we have. And so I want to continue to develop that God consciousness in my life, God awareness and breathing through prayer. Now, as we come to the end here, I just want to share with you three things that helped me in my prayer life. We started with Ephesians 6:18. Pray at all times, with all occasions, all kinds of prayers for all people, all the time. And this helped me years ago. Someone began to teach me, this says that whenever you find a temptation in your life, anger, lust, you know, whatever it would be, food, what it has, and you're committing that to God, and you feel like you're under attack, because Prayer is warfare. Here are three things you can do to begin to advance the kingdom of God. Use it as a trigger to pray. And this helped me, so I want to share it with you. The first thing Ephesians 6:18 tells us is pray for those that you are growing with. Pray at all times and all occasions with all kinds of prayer requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So if I'm tempted or I'm feeling worried or I'm thinking what I'm going to begin doing is I'm going to use that as a point of reference to pray for the other people in my life connection, in my church family, in my physical family, and I'm going to pray that it's God. Because here's what we know. Satan is good at pushing our buttons. Hello? He knows our weaknesses. He can see by the habits that we have formed in our life. And this really helped me because it began to say, instead of playing defense, you begin to be playing offense. And you begin to say, I'm going to pray for other people that I am growing with. And it's implied there that you are growing with people. Let me just say this. I know this is on top, but if you're not growing with people, you need to get yourself in the environment where you are growing with people. Bible studies, prayer, taking notes, applying the scripture, okay? Secondly, pray for your spiritual leaders. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me. So pray for your pastors. Pray for your life connection leaders. Pray for people you get devotionals, from. God, I pray that you would increase them, grant them favor. Lord, keep them humble. Give them integrity of heart. Help them that the message they proclaim is something that they are living in their personal life. You're going to pray for them that their ministry would advance and go. Pray for their families. And then lastly, pray for someone who needs the Lord to make known the mystery of the gospel. And as you begin to make this a habit in your life, realize you become a more persistent prayer because temptations go, frustrations enter your life. But you also say, I'm not just going to try to deflect those things and just focus on the victory over that particular thing. I'm going to hit back against the kingdom of darkness. And I'm going to pray for others. And as they grow, I realize that I will grow with them. I'm going to pray for my spiritual leaders. And I am going to pray for someone that I know that doesn't know the Lord or that they need the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you told us that we should pray always and not lose heart. You recognize in this world of sin and sorrow and pain, it's easy to become discouraged. Lord, on the other side, it's easy sometimes for those that have walked with Christ for some time to know that you are in control and just assume it's all taken care of. But Lord, you really desire to work through your people. You have no other plan but to work through people. And one of the avenues that you greatly use that is through our prayer life. And so Lord, I pray that we'd be more focused upon your activity in this world, that your plan would be revealed to us as we call upon the promises of God, that your power would be recognized and your presence be felt and lived out in our life to the glory of God. Lord, make this an increasing habit in your life so that if anyone should ever ask, why do you always pray? To say, this is something that I've trained myself to do because I see that Jesus was constant communication with the Father. And I'm being formed into the image of his Son. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.